Welcome, everybody, to the flop edition of Chiefs Focus Live. We got Caleb, we got myself, JP, and we got the bearded dragon, Quentin. What the hell is going on,
fellas? Good win.
Good win. Good win. Good win. You know what I mean?
Good one. Good win.
Good win. It was weird. They have to figure out. I've kind of come to the conclusion that next year, Embry won't be back as the wide receiver coach. Not just from my own conclusions, but just talking to people in general. I don't think he'll be back. You don't go from having the exact same amount of, or the same wide receivers with the exception of Juju, and have 37 drops on the season. It's that simple.
Yeah. And I would add to that, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do, but I think what we see is Rashee Rice has shown up and risen to a level the Chiefs fans are expecting. They got to draft another wide receiver to his caliber, because if you can do that with the addition and pairing with the Chiefs have, the Chiefs can be a very good spot moving forward, I think, in the wide receiver room if they can add an extra guy, because Rashee Rice just went off today for the most part.
He did.
He's dominant. So.
He did. Hey, and I want to bring something up. We got some Swifties in the house. By the way, Swifties, join the show. Thank you for joining, by the way. You know, for this entire season, Chiefs fans have been bitching and complaining about the ref calls, about just everything in general. So today, Ari Morrow put out a tweet with Travis Kelce getting pushed and then falling down and doing his acting job, which is fine. But regardless, that should have been a penalty. Regardless of how you look at it, you get pushed, it's a penalty. It's called on every other fucking player. So I put out a tweet, and then all of a sudden, apparently all these Chiefs fans have now become, you know, they did the flip-flop themselves, from went from complaining because they got embarrassed from all the rhetoric they got from, you know, Patrick Mahomes' outburst last week, and now they don't want to complain about it anymore. Oh, don't say that. That's embarrassing. Oh, it was absolutely not a penalty. Well, you know, I've seen that. Over the 30 years, I've seen that play called numerous times, and it was a penalty. Yes, was Kelce, did he try? Did he act? He did. Many other players did. Who was it last year that just fell down in the middle of one of our games, Caleb? Just dropped on his ass? Do you remember that game we were watching?
I think it was a Bills player.
It was actually a Bills player. It actually was.
I think it was Bengals. I think it was Bills or Bengals.
It was a Bengals player, yes. And he just decided to fall down and act like he had an injury, so he could get some time on the clock, so they could call a timeout, you know, an injury timeout. This shit happens. But regardless, Kelce didn't push off first, like someone said. Hey, what's up, Will? He had his hands out, but he didn't shove the guy. This dude shoved Kelce. He did flop down. He could have went maybe fought for the ball a little bit more, but he didn't. It is what it is. I don't really care. The point is that if you're going to be a fucking complainer, and you're going to complain the entire season over the refs, don't get embarrassed because other fan bases come after you. Don't be a little bitch. Go in there and say what you have to say, because you're making yourself look stupid, because people do have receipts and they do go back after you when you do something stupid. I bookmarked a bunch of shit. So any of those guys that want to bitch and complain about an iffy call for the rest of the season, I'm going to call them out all fucking day long, is what it is. But with that being said, this was a good game for the most part. I will say that Tony has a drop issue. I don't know what's going on with him, but he has a drop issue.
He just wanted to recreate what happened in the first game.
Basically,
I mean, I can't believe that. I said the dude needs to I think he needs to take the gloves off. You know what? He needs to go out. He needs to raw dog the football, because something needs to change. And yeah. I think maybe taking the gloves off so you have more control with your hands, maybe that'll help. I don't know. But you got to change something. Let's start with taking the gloves off. I know they're about as sticky as George Brett's pine tar bat, but we got to change something. So let's take the gloves off. And for the rest of the year, let's play with bare hands and try and catch the ball like that. Because that drop is just, it's ridiculous. I mean, that's a ball where you're trying to bring it in. It bounces off your chest plate. And once again, a defender just picks it off. And now Kansas City or Patrick Mahomes is charged with two interceptions because Blake Bell didn't fight for the football. And
there's another one that didn't fight.
Just basically handed the ball off to the defender. So this is I mean, it didn't cost Kansas City the game, but this is this kind of stuff that we've seen all year build up. And fortunately for Kansas City, it didn't lead to them losing the game. But what did I talk about last week? The fumbles, the fumbling issue too, right? Kansas City had two fumbles today, and while none of them came back to hurt them, it could have, right?
It could have easily hurt him. Yeah,
he fumbled that football. And they didn't get to recover the other fumble because of the penalty. So, yeah, team continues to struggle with maintaining possession of the football. But let's be positive, okay? There was a lot of positives to come out of this.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire. How about Clyde? 100%. There's a positive.
That's where I was going. That touchdown pass where Patrick Mahomes threw it to Clyde, and he knew I didn't know he could jump that high. He climbed the ladder and reached out his arm. I mean, he was out there looking like Travis Kelce.
Actually, I think that was
catch. I mean, and being able not just being able to pull the ball in, but then also being able to fall on the ground and still hold on to that football. That is not easy. He made it look easy. Amazing catch by him on that screen pass. You know, he's got three blockers in front of him. He almost goes out of bounds and toe taps it all the way down and gains an extra 15 yards to lead to the scoring, to lead to the touchdown. Great job, Clyde. I mean, that was fantastic.
That was phenomenal.
And then you got Jerick McKinnon that threw and caught a touchdown today.
Just jumped up and climbed the ladder.
Yeah, he did. You got Jerick McKinnon that threw a touchdown and caught a touchdown today, which was pretty phenomenal. Which, hey, man, by the way, we've been pounding the tables for him to be in the red zone all season long. When he is in the red zone, we score. It's that simple. It's crazy to think, and I understand the fact that he's 32. I get they're trying to save him for the playoffs. I understand all of that.
Yeah, and he had a groin injury that he was nursing for a while.
He did. But look, it was a good game in most aspects. There were still some mistakes that have to be cleaned up. There's no doubt about it. That interception was definitely not on Mahomes with the Blake Bell interception. Blake Bell just absolutely didn't fight for the ball.
And you have to fight. It makes no sense. Like, guys, you have to fight for every little thing. I mean, the Chiefs season could come down to a drop pass, receiver not drop, fighting for the ball. I mean, the season of the playoffs could come down just to that. That's not a good sign. That's not a good sign when you're trying to really do things.
But here's some other positives. Not just the offensive side. We did good on the offense. Rashee Rice made history today. He made history today. He's going to beat the Chiefs' rookie record for receptions as well. He needs 5, I believe, to beat that. Dwayne Bowe, by the way, is who has the single-season rookie record for receptions. And he is going to beat that reception record. He is on pace right now for over 900 yards on the season. If he continues to do what he's doing, he's going to easily get 900 yards. And then if he hits 1,000, Quentin owes me something because we made
that
bet.
That's not true.
We made that bet. Quentin, I'll go back. We have it saved. It's on every channel. We made that bet. I said, huh? He's got
how many yards is Rashee Rice?
He has 780 or something.
Let me see. I can find it real quick.
It's in the 700s.
663.
He might be able to get it. It's going to be
what,
a
four
stretch.
Games? Three games?
He might.
He's got more than 663.
663.
Is that after today, or are you reading an old one?
I'm on the player stats right now, so I imagine that it's today.
We got to see if that gets updated, because I think he has a little bit more than that.
Okay. We Phillip can talk about looking, it on Tuesday, too.
Yeah, we can. I know Philip was looking at it during the PSF show. And what's up, Megan? Got some Swifties in the house. I guarantee it. Hey, man. And by the way, Taylor Swift, she can act too. Because she stood up in the middle of that and said, what the fuck? And I don't blame her. I mean, she got upset.
He
did flop. But he got pushed. Doesn't matter. He got pushed. He should have fought for the ball. I'm not
saying. All I'm saying is they're just going to make a Taylor Swift cam for all the Taylor Swift fans. Because I'm trying to watch the game. They need to start having Taylor Swift.
They need to have like a secondary cam.
See Taylor Swift on camera during the game. I would take the over, and I would probably win.
You probably would. But that's okay. Hey, you know what? That's okay. They showed her 3 times today, which that's not going to hurt my feelings. I don't care. Look, man, she's there. She's cheering on her guy. One thing I will say about Travis Kelce is this. He and for all the people out there that think this is Taylor Swift's fault, you're fucking stupid. It's not her fault. He is 34. Not to say his age is making a difference, but he's been banged up all season long. He has not been healthy 100% all season. That's number one. Number two, get it through your thick heads that when your wide receiver core has broken parts, it breaks the rest of it. It's like when your engine runs out of oil, then your pistons go, your rods go, everything goes. It's not as easy as everybody thinks it is to go out there and be triple teamed and expect – he has been double teamed his whole career. Mm-hmm. That he's used to. But when you're triple teamed most of the time, and that's what – if you go back and look at any film, he's been triple teamed all year long. He's had over 100-yard games this season, three of them, and he's still on pace, again, for 1,000 yards, which he will get. So for everybody that's complaining and whining and saying that Taylor Swift is the reason, it has nothing to do with it. The biggest problem that we're having right now is the fact that these wide receivers, with the exception of Rashee Rice and Justin Watson, have not figured it out yet.
And I would say that's Justin Watson's part of the blame for some of this too, because he's had some drops or failed catches.
He's had four drops.
I'll say this. I think there's, like I said, a lot of positives coming out. You know, Kansas City did not run the ball effectively. They only ended the day. They ended the day with 43 rushing yards on the day. But Clyde had a 20-yard run. He was big in the pass game. Jerick McKinnon ended up with a touchdown pass. So they did what they needed to do to win. And the defense really clamped down in the second half.
Yes, they did.
They allowed that fourth quarter touchdown after the turnover, but. You know, I really think that Kansas City, this is the kind of game we were expecting them to come in and play. And I just think that Kansas City outlasted the Patriots here. This is the kinds of games that we're going to have to expect moving forward.
This is not – the Patriots don't have a weak defense.
No, they have a very, very good defense. They have a
very good defense.
They're very good.
And for us to put up 27 points on that defense, mm-hmm. that's pretty strong, no matter who you are. Yes, their offense sucks. There's no doubt about it. They have a bad offense. There's worse, but they don't have a great offense right now. The point is that we held them, again, another team under 20 points, and we scored 27 on a defense that is actually really strong. Willie Gay, mm-hmm. key interception. Le'Jarius Sneed is getting the bag next year, and it better be from the Chiefs because they'd be stupid to break this.
I'll say this. I am becoming more and more convinced that the Chiefs should re-sign Snead. You know, I've been on the wagon that, you know, the Chiefs probably aren't going to, and it's probably a good decision not to re-sign him because mm-hmm. one of the worst things you can do as a general manager when you have paid your quarterback is to give good players great contracts. But I think that Snead is coming out, and it was Terrez Taylor that said that the contract year is undefeated, right? And that's because you either come out and you suck and you get a low contract in free agency, or you come out and no matter what you've done in your career, you blow the doors off of expectations and you get a huge contract. I think everybody here in Kansas City knew that Snead was good. I think they realized that he was a decent cover corner, but everybody loved him because of his blitzing ability. And I was never on board with the impact of the blitzing because, to me, that's a scheme thing. Snead has come out, and he has blown the expectations off of everybody. Even if you were the biggest – you could be Le'Jarius Sneed's mom, and you'd be surprised how well he's playing in man coverage this year. I mean, he's mm-hmm. continued to lock down number one corners or number one wide receivers. We've went through the list before of all the different guys that he has faced that he's been one-on-one for. The leading receiver for the Patriots today was Hunter Henry with 7 receptions and 66 yards. The next closest guy was Devontae Parker with 44 yards. So this cornerback duo of McDuffie and Snead is fantastic, and I am becoming more and more convinced that Kansas City should throw some money in Snead's direction in order to keep him around here because this cornerback duo led by Snead is blowing my mind about how effective both of these guys are.
They're way too good. They're way too good. Look, Snead has been good his entire career. There's no doubt about that. He's been – you know, he's never been an average. Never at one point was he average in the cornerback position. Never. Even his rookie season, he was a very, very, very dominant cornerback. This year, yes, he has absolutely exceeded expectations, but again, it is contract year. But you have to think about it, and I understand what you're saying about a good GM doesn't throw money, but here's the difference. Patrick Mahomes was offered a bigger contract this year and turned it down. Turned it down. You know why he turned it down? Because he wants to keep this team together. I don't blame him. You cannot expect this team to continue on this trajectory of a dynasty if you don't throw money at players. So at some point, you have to. You have to. Look at our wide receivers.
Look at our wide receivers. Before the salary cap goes up to start next year, the Chiefs currently have $35 million in cap space in the 2024 year. Now, we know that that's going to go up because with all the new gambling money and everything, the salary cap's going to continue to go up by a few million dollars. So Kansas City will have somewhere probably closer to the $40 million range heading into the 2024 season. Now, however you want to allocate that, you know, that's up to you. But Kansas City is going to have a ton of cap space moving forward. And I think that you have to choose between Snead or Jones. Those are probably going to be your two options there. You're probably going to try and keep one of those two. And I think that as time goes on, I'm being more and more convinced that you probably should give some of that money towards Snead because his impact on the outside has just been phenomenal. And I have been blown away by his ability to be a serious number one cornerback in this league.
Want to add $15 million to that, Quentin, without doing any of that by making a choice? Add $15 million to it, restructure Taylor because he absolutely needs to be restructured. Today fucking proved that. He needs to be restructured. You restructure him. You restructure Omenihu, or extend Omenihu, I'm sorry. Extend him past this next year, and you extend Chris Jones. You just freed yourself up a shit ton of cap space for next year. Why not do that? And you can still keep Willie Gay, still keep Snead, and still keep the guys you have on defense and still have the money to re-sign people sign people that you want to bring in. That's what you do.
Yeah.
There's teams out there that do it every year, dude.
Yeah, every year. It'll depend on how many comp picks Kansas City gets for the draft. That'll determine a lot of things.
Because they have six right now. I think
Kansas City is going to get one from the – I think Kansas City will get one from the Cowboys because of a trade they made, I think, a year ago. The projection is they'll get two comp picks from the league. So we'll see where that happens, and that's a conversation hopefully we have late February. Getting back to this game, I want to get into the MVPs. Caleb, unless you have something, just general thoughts you want to add.
No, we're going to jump into them. I'm ready.
Okay, so you guys want to go offense first?
Yeah, let's go offense.
All right. I think I'm going to take the easy one here because I can't imagine where else you want to go. I just want to give it to Rice. 9 receptions, 91 yards. He had that touchdown off of that little shovel pass. He converted multiple third downs, didn't have a single drop. He had 9 receptions on 9 targets. So Rashee Rice came out and looked like a true number one wide receiver. I think this is the first game we could really say that, damn, that's a number one. That's what a number one wide receiver does. Right. He doesn't need to go and get a 60-yard touchdown bomb. Right. But you know what a number one wide receiver does? When it's 3rd and 10, he gets you 11 yards. When it's 3rd and 9, he gets real low and he catches that ball with the tip of his fingers and rolls over and gets to the first down. That's what Kansas City's been missing in this offense. I know that we as Chiefs fans expect the big plays, the 50-yard bombs. Patrick Mahomes got a cannon for an arm. We're expecting these two-play 75-yard touchdown drives. But what this offense has really been missing has just been that guy, that man.
Yes.
It's 3rd and 13. We're behind the sticks because of a drop or a bad rush or a sack. And it feels like the drive is over even though we've got one more play. Rashee Rice came in and we didn't have that. There was that touchdown drive where there were 3 third longs in a row that Kansas City was able to get the first down. Two of those were because of Rashee Rice. So I'm giving it to Rice. He continues to prove that he's trending towards being that guy in this offense. And moving forward, that's what you needed. It's what Juju Smith-Schuster brought to this offense last year. Juju Smith-Schuster was not a huge play guy, but he was, man, it's 3rd and 7. I need 8 yards. And Smith-Schuster was always able to get you that 8 yards.
Yes.
That's what Rashee Rice is. Thank you, Rasheed Rice, for becoming that guy. That's why I'm giving him the MVP.
I'm going to say this, and I can't believe that this is going to come out of my mouth. So it's going to hurt a little, but I'm going to give it to Clyde. Clyde played out of his fucking shoes today. And I understand that, look, he's fighting for his future right now. I get that. But he played out of his shoes. He really did. This is not the Clyde we have seen. We haven't seen that Clyde since LSU.
Yes, you're right. He had four receptions for 64 yards. This is what, when he was brought into the system, I thought he was going to be in the passing game. And he's finally getting those opportunities. Like we brought up early in the show, I mean, he climbed the ladder, man. That was an amazing.
He really did. He really did. I mean, I can't give the guy enough credit for what he did today. And you know what I noticed today that he hasn't done in the past is he really is focused in on securing the football, which is something that he never did before. He never really focused in on securing it as well as he is right now. I get it. Look, man, he had a seventh round draft pick come in and take his job. So that is enough, and rightfully so. I mean, look, Pacheco is Pacheco. But regardless, he played out of his shoes today. I got to give him credit for that. And you never know. The Chiefs may bring him back for another year. It might just happen. And in my opinion, the way he caught out of the backfield today, that's a Deebo Samuels type of player that you really need in this system. You need somebody.
The 48-yard screen pass, yeah.
Yeah. You need that kind of player in the system. And if he can continue to do that, I'm all for it. I'm all for it.
I agree with you. So, I would have to say mine. It's not really a specific player, but I have to give mine to the defensive line. I did not think they were going to get over three sacks in the end of the day with four. I know yesterday on Thursday when Quentin and I did our Believe It or Not, I think I said two, and I think Quentin took the over. I should have believed you, Quentin, because this defense generally was on another level. They were just able to be all around the field doing their thing. Then you had guys like McDuffie's coming on, these blitzes off the edge. Chris Jones was getting in there, almost had an interception with defense lineman. I mean, this line as a whole was on another level. And I do believe the Patriots did take their game up a level and play a little bit better. But when I saw overall, this defense line is going to be scary. Now, if the Chiefs can get this offense fixed and that defensive line and the defense all can continue to keep doing what they're going to do, this is going to be a great time. This is going to be a great time specifically for this team moving forward in the playoffs.
Yeah, okay, my question is, what's your offensive MVP, though?
I mean, there's really no one else besides me. You guys took the two guys. I mean, I guess I could give it to Mahomes, but, I mean.
He did have a good game. I mean.
He did, but there's no one else really did anything. Sky Moore was irrelevant. MVS caught one pass, didn't drop it somehow. I mean, there really wasn't anyone out there really doing stuff. Kelsey was kind of a no-show, so. I mean, to get to the offensive line, but then they gave it like 3-4 sacks. So it's kind of hard to pick one. And those options are kind of
it's crazy to think that we have a top five offensive line and two of the worst tackles right now in the league.
Yeah, I mean, it just shows you just kind of on the scale. If two guys didn't really step up this day, it would have hurt them.
Yeah, I agree. Real quick, Wilson, what do you think about Morris today? I think Morris played very well. He's our future.
Yeah, he's a rookie tackle. I don't care who you're going up against. You know, you're gonna have bad plays against guys that have been in the league for 7-8 years just because their arsenal is deeper than yours. That's just the way that it's gonna work. That's why when you look at tight ends and linemen, specifically tackles, whether it's right or left, they don't peak until they're getting closer to their second contract year when they're 26, 27, 28. That's why Andy Reid historically has always shaved away from rookie tackles, right? He's always trying to find a veteran guy to play the tackle position because you don't become who you truly are until you get to your later in your career, sort of that midpoint of your
mid. And Wyman Morris, look, man, he's our future. That is what
he is. He has a bright future. You see him, the positives there, right? But you're going to have bad snaps. You're right, Caleb. Offensive line had its struggles today. I think some of those sacks or some of those pressures are on Mahomes. We've talked about this, but at least I have. Sacks are a quarterback stat as much as they are an offensive line stat because when you do those big, deep dropbacks or you roll out to your left and your offensive line doesn't know you've done either of those things, the defensive lineman can see where he's going. The offensive lineman can't. So it makes it easier for the edge guy to peel off when your offensive lineman thinks that he's right behind you. So some of those pressures are on Mahomes, but that's just the way that it is.
Okay, but you know what? My only rebuttal to that is that we didn't have that problem in the past. They all knew that Mahomes was running. He was a scrambler. He was going to roll out. When we had Jeff Fisher, and as much as I cannot stand, and the one that caused us the most problems was Wiley, but when we had all those guys back in the day, he was able to roll out, do his thing, bought himself some time. But the wide receivers also have to find an open spot and sit down. That's something I want to bring up really quick. Rashee Rice has honed in on that ability. Did you see him in the middle of the field when he found that open spot and he sat down and waited and got Mahomes the first down? That's what you have to do as a wide receiver in an Andy Reid offense along with Patrick Mahomes. You have to learn how to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Broadcast used the term Mahomes friendly. And I think that was a good
that's absolutely
call
true.
By them. Yeah. They started calling it, he's becoming Mahomes friendly. Okay, let's absolutely. Move to the defensive side. I'm going to give it to Reid. I think this guy has been a little underrated in the eyes of Chiefs fans. He's done so much for this team this year. He had 7 tackles, 6 of them all by himself, and a tackle for loss. He was hitting hard today. He hit Hunter Henry hard. He was all
took him out of the game twice.
Justin Reid was playing hard today. And so I'm going to give his impact to the game is probably going to go a little underrated, but I just need to give Justin Reid a little shout out there on the defensive side of the ball.
Okay. Well, I mean, the obvious one would be Snead, but I'm not going to do it. It would be easy to go to Snead. I'm actually going to give it to Willie Gay. Mm. Willie Gay was all over the field today. Being Willie Gay, doing what he normally does, his athletic self, one of the most athletic linebacker in football in Willie Gay, got the interception. He was just all in the face of everybody today. And I got to give him credit for everything he did today.
Mm-hmm.
He helped us win that football game. There's no doubt about it. So Willie Gay, he's another one that they have to figure out how to bring back. That's simple.
I'd say Bolton.
Yeah, Nick.
As well. I mean, that's another guy who's another lead of the defense. Anytime you see him out there, he's running downfield, busting up plays. I mean, he's directing the defense. That's a guy for Kev to give it to every single week because he's getting them lined up in the right positions, doing everything that needs to be done. I mean, I know it's kind of maybe a cop-out, but that easily, every single week, he is a guy who's been instrumental when he plays, is helping the defense get better and better and better.
And Caleb, to add to that, and I agree with you, the one thing that he has done so well, and he did it today, is stop third down conversions. And he shut down third down conversions so many times over his, you know, over the year. But today he did it, I think, 4 times. There was 4 tackles that he made that were on third down that he just shut that third down conversion out. And one of them was pretty close. I mean, one of them was like 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6, and he shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just
Kansas City has struggled with the run game on the defensive side the last few weeks, and it's, you know, a lot because of Nick Bolton being gone. The longest rush for the New England rushing game was 18 yards.
Yeah.
They had a total of 52 yards. So if you get rid of that one play, that almost cuts their rushing yards in half. Ezekiel Elliott's longest rush for the day was 5 yards. I mean, Kansas City really shut down the New England running game, and they shut it down pretty early. So that was a big part of why Kansas City was able to force New England to pass the ball, because they just could not get anything going on the run game. And to be honest, it seemed like New England really wasn't even trying to run the ball all that much, almost like they were conceding the fact that we're not going to be able to run the ball against you. So, yeah, I think both linebackers played great. And, of course, this whole defense, really. I know none of us chose Snead, because I don't think we wanted to choose the obvious one defensive player of the game. Yeah. But I do think that Snead, obviously, with how hard he was hitting, he was playing linebacker, corner, and safety all at once.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And look, man, again, I want to bring this up about Travis Kelce, because he is not 100% this year. It is not because of Taylor Swift. So everybody get off that stupid-ass bandwagon. She has nothing to do with it. He is just not 100% this year. That's one thing. The second thing is, when you have a total of 38 drops on the season and your wide receivers are running the wrong routes again. I mean, Mahomes, actually, you can read his lips when that, with that Tony drop. He ran the wrong fucking route. Timing is everything. Timing is everything in this game when you're a wide receiver. And if you can't get that timing down, hang it up. Hang the shit up. But Taylor Swift is not the reason why Kelsey's having an issue. It's a combination of the fact that he's been banged up and the wide receivers are not doing their job. If you're not in fear of anyone, which they are now in fear of Rashee Rice, which they weren't at the beginning of the season, really all the way up until week 9, they weren't in fear of anyone. Nobody was. Nobody scared any wide was scared of any one of our wide receivers. Nobody was. They triple teamed Kelsey the entire season for the most part. The drop on him in the end zone, that was on him. There's no doubt about it. He missed the ball. He should have caught it 2 plays earlier. It is what it is. But he's just not the same. He's not 100% this year. Get off his back. Give the man some time to rest. And also, the last thing I want to bring up is the time of possession has been killing us all year long. Today, the time of possession at halftime was 7 minutes. There was a 7-minute difference between the Patriots and us in their favor. 7 minutes out of 30. That's not good. It's not good. So when you can win the time of possession battle or at least keep it even, you have a hell of a lot better chance of winning a football game. And when they came out in the second half, they fixed that problem. Will, I agree with you. Rashee Rice penalty was a bad call.
I don't even want to talk penalties anymore. We did enough of that last
week. Yeah, we did enough of that last week. Yeah, and God forbid I bring one up on Twitter today and then everybody explodes. You know, all the people that complained about him are now, I guess they got embarrassed because, you know, God forbid that a penalty can get called and somebody brings it up. But I guess they couldn't take the trolling from air to their fan base. And, you know, that just drove them crazy. But be consistent, Chiefs fans. Be consistent. That's all I'm saying. You want the team to be consistent. You need to be consistent as well. With that being said, hey, man, good team win. Yeah, we didn't play the greatest football team today. But we played a damn good defense, and we made them look bad. So we put up 27 points against those guys. It's not an easy feat for any football team in this league right now. It's just not. So we will be back on Tuesday. For everybody that doesn't know, we do have a show called PSF that is on. It's called Pro Sports Fans. You can download it on your phone. We do a live game cast every week. We do a midweek show on Wednesdays every week at 6:30, 8:30 Central Time. Join. It's a lot of fun. Good to talk about stuff. You can actually be a part of the conversation. It puts spaces to shame. It's similar to this, but you got a lot more people involved. We've had players on. You know, it's just a lot of fun. So that being said, make sure you join. Download the app. It's free. It doesn't cost you a thing. And you can be a part of that. And we invite all the Swifties to join us as well. We have no complaints about anybody. So with that being said, hey, peace out. We will talk to you guys Tuesday. Make sure you join in. Chiefs Focus Live on every platform you can find us on. Anybody else got anything before we get out of here?
Nope. Just make sure you join us on Tuesday. We will further break down this game.
Yes, we will break down this game and break down a lot more. And we're going to see about any other injuries that may have popped up during this game. Peace out, everybody.